Dave. Energy Utilities and Telecommunications Committee is in order. We do have a quorum, believe it or not. We have three bills on the table, members. And we, with us, we have Senator Senjum with Senate File 261. Senator Senjum, is the legislative approval required prior to certain rules taking effect? Welcome, Senator Senjum. We miss you. You used to be on this committee.
Oh, gee.
No more. What happened? You saw the light.
Funny things happen on the way to the office. Madam Chair, Senate File or House File, help me. Senate File 261 is a bill that's been here or was here previously last first session of the biennium. It was here, as I recall, because it had reference to the Public Utilities Commission in it. That was that reference was exempted out. My understanding procedurally is this simply needs to, at this point, of course, with the help of the committee, be re-referred back to the floor as a matter of procedure, for, as I understand, general custom of the place.
Oh, I don't need that.
Senator Senjum, we traded places to have a little fun with you and see how your memory was doing while you weren't on the committee anymore. So, so it's actually House File 203. It's a Rule 47 bill, so no public testimony to be heard. Testimony was taken last year. In terms of members, any issues, questions? No questions. We're all compliant this week, so... let's see, Senator Howe, you look like the kind of guy that would like to make a motion.
Certainly, I'd like to move this.
Senate File 261.
To general orders.
And House File 203, actually, because of the way it is. Okay, House File 203. Senator Howe moves that House File 203 be recommended to pass and go to
where'd you get that?
The floor. All those in favor? Say aye.
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 Any opposed? Same sign.
It's too easy.
All right, too easy. House File 203 passes, and we'll go to the floor. Thank you, Senator Senjum.
Mr. Chairman, I think some people got bonding bill work they need done. The bonding chairman off this easy.
I wanted to make the motion.
Senator. Senator Metzen makes a motion for the bonding committee.
After the hearing is over. I want to second it, Senator Senjum.
let's see, is Senator Skoy?
Senator Skoy is on his way over, be here in a minute.
On his way over and be here in a minute.
Skoy.
All right. We have the pleasure of Senator Skoy.
Where
and
are
Senator
their
Buck.
Offices at, by the way? Could you?
Senator Howe, some of you new folks that just don't have to walk too far now and don't know what it was like to get that exercise. We'll be waiting a few moments for Senator Skoy on Senate File 2336.
You know, I have a bill to address that issue.
So, members, see how good that was? You came here, we got a quorum right away, we passed the first one without any objection and no questions, and now we'll have to see what happens with the next one.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Howe.
I thought in the meantime we could find out if you'd been in any accidents.
About every other week.
Okay, just for everybody's edification, on my accident, the official rule on my accident on February 29th, my vehicle was officially totaled and hauled away today. My neck will probably be certified as officially totaled as well.
It's not just your neck.
But as Senator Skoy is invited to the table, I will tell you that, so just so you know, my pastor did a sermon Sunday about how we need to be nicer to people on the road when they're driving and things, and I had to be convicted of that I, once in a while, when I'm on the phone with my wife, tell my wife, you know, that the other people need new driver's tests and they should get off my road. So one of my, actually, delegates from the area said, Jungbauer, I think you need a sign on the back of your car that says, God loves you and I'm trying. And then maybe it will take... so I don't get hit anymore.
Why don't you wear it a neck press?
Right. Yes. Welcome, Senator Skoy. We were digressing, so while you were getting here. Thank you so much, Senator Skoy, Senate File 2336. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was very
Great.
Discussing the important issues of the day. I'm here with Senate File 2336, and members, this is an initiative for the city of Manoman to partner up with the White Earth Indian Reservation to bring natural gas to their residents. And the town in which my address is the town of Clearbrook, had natural gas brought into it a few years ago. A significant savings to the residents of that community. And what we're hoping here is that the residents of Manoman and White Earth will achieve some of the same savings. White Earth, Manoman County and the city of Manoman are wholly within the reservation. So in order for this natural gas distribution plan to work, we need to have them have the ability to partner up to provide natural gas to the folks in the area. And Manoman is one of the poorer counties in the state. And I talked to the city manager, Jerry Currier, who wished he could have been down here today, but he was unable to come. But he told me, he said, you know, some of the residents of his city are paying 20% of their income in heating fuel costs. And if they can switch over to natural gas, they figure it's about a third the price of propane or fuel oil. And so what I'm asking is that we add, let me get the exact words here, federally recognized Indian tribes as a party that municipalities can partner with in delivery of energy. And so I think that it's pretty straightforward. There are three possibilities for them to bring natural gas into the community, and the city of Manoman would like to partner with the White Earth Reservation and become a legal entity that would buy and manage and distribute the gas to the residents of that community. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Senator Skoy. There was a bill recap, but I was going to see if Mr. Fuller would give us just a little background, because my only question was in terms of precedent, if we were setting any precedent that we'd have to worry about. Otherwise, I think members were pretty comfortable with other things. So, Mr. Fuller, if you could just give us a quick, if there was any precedent or anything that we would need to worry about in approving this.
Mr. Chair, members, I don't think so. Prior law, there's a 425, the next section up from this one, 452.25(2), does allow some gas utility services provided if the joint venture existed prior to 2004. So at that time, we allowed it. This looks to be fairly carefully drafted. Every time there's a reference to the tribe, it relates to utility service. And it has to be tied to the municipal utility. That's the key. It's the municipal utility that this law is built around. And they can partner with a variety of utilities. So if that's the intent here, I
the only precedent we're setting is we're adding federally recognized Indian tribes as a class that can engage in the venture.
It's historically only been other utilities, co-ops. So, but that seems to be the necessity here. I mean, that's what will make this work. The key is they still have to partner with the municipality. They have to negotiate agreement. And the municipality, I assume the gas utility is probably governed by the city council. Yeah, and so there's that oversight of that.
Okay. Senator Skoy?
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members, some of the large users of natural gas would, you know, obviously be the hospital and the school and the county courthouse, but also the casino is in the city of Manoman. And that would be a large user of natural gas. So that makes it economically viable when you have those large users to bring in the main line and to pay the tapping fees on the main transmission line. So that's what gets the economics of it to work.
Okay, members, questions? Senator Brown?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and I don't know if this questions for Mr. Fuller or Senator Skoy, but a couple of things. Federally recognized Indian tribes means sovereign nation. And is there an issue with a local municipality entering into agreement with a sovereign nation? And is there anyone opposed to this legislation?
Senator Scoy?
Mr. Chair and Senator Brown, I don't know of any opposition. But with regard to partnering with the tribes, that happens a lot. The State Highway Department does it with regard to road maintenance. Beltrami County does it with regard to the Red Lake Band on a number of human services issues. I've actually carried a number of bills where we've had to add these three words to the language in order to provide services more efficiently and better for the constituents, because we do have these federally recognized tribes, and they have to interact with other governmental units, and so state law has to allow it. And this is just another example of that type of relationship that we try to work through.
Gotta keep a record of that. I know, Senator Brown, as we've gone through some of these other issues, that was one of the things, is looking at precedent and how we work around the other issues in terms of the federal government. So I hope that we've got it drafted satisfactory that way. Other comments, members, questions? If not, Senator Sparks?
Mr. Chair, I would move the bill if there's no one else to testify.
Does anyone else in the room want to testify for or against Senate File 2336? Seeing none, Senator Spark moves that Senate File 2336 be recommended to pass and as well go to the floor? And go to the floor of the Senate. All those in Senator Scoy, did you have requests from any other committees?
I haven't had any requests for
Okay. Then, again, the motion is for Senate File 2336 to be recommended to pass and go straight to the Senate floor. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Senate File 2336 passes, and we'll be moving on to the Senate floor. Thank you, Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. And, you know, I was kind of hoping this could go on a little longer because I'm missing out on the hunting and fishing license.
I could frame up some questions.
Well, Senator Scoy, we all appreciate
you
the could sit here
for a reconsider.
Can I stay?
You could stay and watch Senator Bach for a while. That'll be entertaining.
Feel free. Senator Bach, I've seen him somewhere. There he is. Senate File 1758. Senator Bach, thank you for being with us today. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was here yesterday and announced to everybody that I played Little League 48 years ago before Senator Miller, who was sitting over there, was born. Picked the no-hitter in Little League. They were talking about baseball here yesterday in the St. Paul Saints. So I got into that discussion. So,
well, thank you so much, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, there's a delete everything amendment that this is the first committee that if the committee could get the bill into shape, it's an A2 amendment.
Members, a delete all A2 amendments being handed out right now.
Chairman, also move the amendment to get it in the shape that the author would like.
Senator Metzen moves the A2 amendment. I think we'll wait till it's handed out just to make sure everybody has it in their hands, Senator Metzen. All right, Senator Metzen moves the A2 amendment as the author's amendment for Senate File 1758. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The A2 amendment is passed. As well, we have an A3. Is that another author's amendment?
No, it's okay. Not, Mr. Chairman. Why don't I go through the bill, and then I don't know who wants to move that, but I know there is another one.
Thank you, Senator Bach. Proceed.
Mr. Chairman, the delete all is a result of a lot of stakeholder work. I had a constituent come to me last fall who does a lot of home rehab on foreclosed homes all over the state. He actually lives in northern Minnesota, does a lot of work for banks to get homes in condition where they then can be resold. And very often what he comes across is where utilities have been cut off. We always think of pipes freezing, but very often he comes across homes that have several feet of water in the basement because electricity has been disconnected over the course of the summer, and the sump pump consequently didn't work, so now the house is full of mold. And so it's more than just a winter heating season issue, and I think the legislature probably hasn't thought about that a lot, and only somebody who goes through that I guess could understand that. So he came to me with that issue, and before session, we convened a group of what we thought were all of the stakeholders that might have an interest in this subject, utilities, banks, realtors, rental groups, and we had a large meeting in 147 over in the state office building. Room was full, and as a result of that, a subcommittee of all of those stakeholders was formed, and we started talking about this issue. And I don't know if we have the language exactly right yet, but we've done what we could, I think, to try and accommodate all of those stakeholders' concerns. And this bill actually ended up pretty narrow, and what the delete all amendment does is, under current law, a city can request information from a utility about the status of the utility connection to a parcel of property. What this amendment does is allows the holder of a sheriff's certificate of sale to do the same thing. So once somebody has bought a foreclosed property, and in almost all cases it's the one that owns the foreclosed property, allows them to be able to contact the utility and find out whether the utilities are on or off, and in the case that they're off or going to be shut off, allows the holder of the sheriff's certificate of sale to be able to have the bill transferred to their name so that they can protect their ownership in the property from further deterioration, because we certainly want it to be resold. So that is really all the bill does at this point, is allow them to access the information about the status of the utilities and have the bill turned over into their name so they can protect their assets. So, Mr. Chairman, that doesn't go as far as my constituent wanted this to go, but I think we have to go in maybe in baby steps here to get people comfortable with the idea about it. But clearly this issue is about more than just keeping a home heated in the wintertime, which is, I think, how the legislature has always approach this issue. So, Mr. Chairman, that concludes my thoughts relative to Senate File 1758. And I know there is another amendment. I think it might have come from the utilities. I don't know if they've talked to any of you about authoring it or not. I don't know. And I don't have anybody, Mr. Chairman, to testify on it. My constituent wasn't able to make it down today. So there may be other stakeholder groups that are interested in talking about the bill.
Thank you, Senator Bach. I was trying to read some things. Members, because this is, if we move it out of this committee today, it will go to judiciary. There's a number of issues in terms of statute and data. And it's interesting looking at who you've worked with, Senator Bach, and some things that do seem commonsensical of sorts become highly technical on the backside. So we do have a Gene Lee that would like to testify. So, Gene, if you would come forward. Welcome to the committee, and please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Gene Lee, President and Executive Director of Children's Hope International, R&R Family Centers, and for the Asian Pacific American Housing Consortium. I guess we would be one of the groups that would have been interested in being part of the stakeholder group had we had known. But at any rate, this is why I came to testify, because there are some issues when we first saw it that this related to utility disconnection notice and payment modifications, that this has been an issue that has affected some of our members and people we serve. On your page 2, when they talk about issuing a sheriff's certificate of sale as far as proof to the utility companies, there's also cases where there are nonprofit organizations that get involved, and there's not necessarily a sheriff's sale, but if there's been a transfer. And there's same issues with other types of owners as far as having the transfer of utilities and the payments that are due. But more so, I wanted to also raise the issue that when they were talking about disconnections and where we had tried, we were seeking an amendment, was there are what we call disputed charges that the utility companies charge that gets accumulated on. In particular, there's one with a co-op, and the co-op is addressed in this particular statute. And what happens is that they would ignore that there's a dispute, and if you hadn't paid the dispute, they would file additional charges on top of that, so it's like a cumulative process, and disconnect on the basis of you haven't paid a disputed portion of the bill, but you've paid for the usage and everything else. Now, I don't know to what extent this would affect some of the charges that these other people in a transfer are being asked to pay, but I do know that I have seen utility bills get enormously high beyond any usage just because of all the fees that get added on top. And so that's a concern there as far as establishing legitimate fees and what you can do where fees are disputed to prevent disconnection, especially during cold weather rule where it affects people who are in need of the utilities, and it's life-threatening to them not to have the utilities, which is why the cold weather rule was established. And we have had utility companies totally disregard that and shut them off on people with medical conditions and cause other life-threatening injuries. Now, our concern, and then they ask for deposits on top of that if it's been disconnected and the deposits disappear. So I just raise these as possible issues that should be looked into whenever they talk about finalizing a bill or what should be paid as far as full disclosure of what where the money's really at. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lee. Any questions?
Yeah, I got one.
Ms. Lee. Oh, Ms. Lee?
No, not for Ms. Lee.
Oh, not for Ms. Lee. Okay.
No.
Senator Howe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Bach, this doesn't change the steps that a municipality may have in place for reconnection of services, does it?
Senator Bach?
Not from my understanding.
Yeah.
That wasn't our intent, but Senate Council could probably give you more assurance than I can.
Mr. Fuller.
Madam Chair, Senator Howe, no, it doesn't. It might actually provide a new procedure, an additional procedure with respect to these certificate holders. So it's another opportunity for a different folk to get the property reconnected if they so choose. Nothing in the bill is mandatory.
Madam Chair, thank you. And I appreciate that because I just there is a concern. You know, some municipalities do have regulations or steps in place where a qualified electrician might have to visit the property to make sure that, because some of these foreclosed properties, there's hazards there that that might arise when they flick the switch back on. So I just wanted to make sure we weren't changing any protections that a municipality might have in place. So I appreciate that. I think it's a good bill.
Senator Brown, did you have something, Senator Brown? No? Okay. Senator Metzen, you have that
look. Thank you. I have that look on my face. But
you have that look.
Thank you, Senator. It seems to me that this could save a property from ruins. In other words, if you can get in there and get the power going or get whatever you need to get going, particularly if it's in a winter month, and you would save the property literally from being destroyed. So it seems to me this is another option to, or an opportunity to get in and save the get the thing connected again and save the building.
Well, Madam Chair,
Senator Bach,
if I understand it right.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Rosen, or Senator Rosen, Senator Metzen, that's right, because after the holder of the sheriff's sale certificate takes title to the property, the previous owner actually has 6 months that they can then reclaim the property. So the person who's holding the sheriff's certificate, even though they can't really get clear title of the property for 6 months, wants to be able to protect their asset. So, I mean, I think you're right, Senator Metzen.
That's what I get.
Because the person doesn't have clear title for an additional 6 months.
Senator Bach, I'm sorry, but the A3 amendment, is that something that you want on, or this is the utilities? You need to know, get some feedback from them?
I think it's some language that the utilities brought. I didn't have it drafted, but if somebody has some desire to want to put it on, I don't think it makes a lot of difference. But if it,
mm-hmm. if anybody would like to speak on the A3 amendment, apparently not. I guess we're not. any of the members want to?
A lot, but
okay, okay. Senator McGuire.
I'm not sure. I'm reading the amendment now and not sure how it does change things. So if the person who wanted it comes forward and says how it's different, I'm open to looking at that. But Senator Bach, I appreciate what you're trying to do here, and I support that. I just have a question about, it seems like timeliness is really important here, and so maybe I'm just missing it somewhere, but it says the utility must provide a method by which the holder may request the utility connection status. Do we want to say timely? You know, I mean, are we giving the utilities unlimited ability to get back to the person? It says they can require the request to be in writing and all of that, but it as I'm reading this, it doesn't say that it necessarily has to be timely. Now, I'm hopeful and anticipating that utilities will be timely, but...
Tim McGuire, what line are you on?
Oh, I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I'm on 118. Okay. Page 1, line 18.
Okay.
Of the delete everything. Oh, I'm just wondering if we want to add a little bit of strength to that, and maybe the utilities process these in very timely manners anyway. But I just don't know.
I would think if somebody's going to pay the bill.
Senator Bach.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator McGuire, I mean, I trust the utilities. Currently, the utilities okay. can't supply the information.
Mm-hmm.
And this really just gives the holder of that yeah. certificate the opportunity to contact the utilities and say, you know, we'll pay the bill, turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
And I just trust that if they can get paid,
well, that's true.
They're going to want to turn it on.
To get that provision that, Madam Chair, that provision that once it's paid, then they can do that. So I guess that's okay. I just was curious whether we wanted to add something there.
Senator Hayden.
Good. Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Bach. So this, I'm sorry for coming late. I just wanted to, so I didn't hear your introduction of the bill, but so this would most likely have an effect on those properties that we think have been abandoned and are in foreclosure and are, because you talked about the redemption period, and so we're waiting out the redemption period, and in that particular time,
and somebody,
Senator Buck?
Somebody owns it. I mean, somebody has purchased it at a sheriff's sale, but because of the redemption period, they can't actually occupy it. Gives them the right to contact the utility and have the utilities make sure the utilities are on or have them turned on, so they can protect their asset.
Senator Hayden.
Okay. Well, thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Bach. Yeah, I think that this works there. No, I passed a bill a couple of years ago that helped people reduce the redemption period. So if you know that the property is abandoned, there's a way to petition the court in which to squeeze down the redemption period to allow kind of folks to take over the property even faster. So I was just trying to get the interplay between that. But in this particular case, maybe it's kind of a different track when someone has grabbed it. I think it's a great opportunity. We know that there's been a lot of foreclosed properties in my district, and a lot of them that have been, as Senator Metzen said, ruined because of broken pipes, some that have exploded because people have come in and gotten the copper, et cetera, which is a little different because the power is off, but it kind of fits into this issue of someone taking over the property and kind of squaring it away. And I think the people who live around those houses and that live on those blocks, I think, would like that opportunity.
Thank you. Senator Helm.
Madam Chair, I was just going to say, reading the A3 amendment, it looks like this has to do with the Cooperative Electric Association, so that they, whoever becomes the holder or the responsible bill payer or party of record, doesn't automatically acquire membership rights. So I would think that whoever had this drafted, it's got to be a cooperative. No. So I where it came from.
No.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I'm just saying it's here. It's in writing. So
we're getting a no.
Was this what you were working on?
Any other further questions for Senator Bach 1758?
Right.
Senator Metzen?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, and we could save a few homes this way, and I would move the bill. Does it have to go anywhere else?
Judiciary, yep.
Yeah, you said that.
Okay, so Senator Metzen moves that Senate File 1758 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to Judiciary. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Buck. With that, members, Thursday's agenda, we have Senator Magnus has the CERTS appropriation, Senate File 2216, and then Senator Benson has the cost of service, and she's working very hard on that, Senate File 2315. So, members, please make a point to be there. We need to get these worked on. Thank you. With that, the meeting is adjourned.